I'm going to be reading from my not yet published chapbook. So maybe next year when you come, you can buy it. But so far, I have no poetry for sale. If you want to buy my fiction or my fairy tale, you can go to www.myname.com and you'll find it there. Anyway, this one's called A Garland for Gaia, The Poetry of Green. All the poems are about green. Most of them I wrote this January. I got very inspired by another teacher. And the garland part means that the last line of one poem is the first line of another poem. And it'll explain that at the end of the chapbook because they're not in order. So tonight I'm reading one lyric poem, one story poem, and one political poem. And you have copies of the first two in front of you because I write esoteric words and I read too fast. The first one, I want to thank Mad Women in the Attic because they helped me make a strange poem stranger. Number one, Chartreuse's Charm. At the edge of my garden, Chartreuse appears, ethereal as a stripe of the rainbow. If I am forest, fern, fen, she is the sea. Her smile friendly when I'm awake, but she nightmares my dreams, lacking a lower body. She's all wings and head, breasts of velvet. She holds a love apple, a blushing spring-colored tomato. Her song sparkles on the waves like mistletoe, like giraffe skin. Reticulated pleasure glints from her eye like the necessity of resurrection. Broccoli waves create her. She's that tart apple smell of Merlin's Island. Should I plunge off frothy waves from Cornwall? Perhaps a sea serpent waits to bite. Should I swim this Styx, this sea storm, to get closer to her intoxicating nectar? Suddenly, I am swimming, as naive as they who are slain for action and reaction. She's as green as John Barleycorn, or I am. I hear Aphrodite's sirens, their minor chords. I stroke the waves, reach the sandy cove, wade ashore, reborn to dance in her arms. The next one is a purely fictional story poem, so I'm going to read it in a fake brogue. It's supposed to happen in Ireland, and it's called Mud and Guinness. What's lucky about mud, mire, morass? The kind of unlucky I always am, he gasped. Took another sip of Guinness, tipped back the bottle, downed it all, slumped back against the booth. His audience hung on the poetry of his woes. Mid-morning or eve, I'm slogging in muck, mindlessly following sheep over moss, bog, rock, and you raise a glass to luck? I've a clover's worth of luck, all bad luck, from brown to sodden, grass green to puke green, and all those other shades of a meanderous life. I tell you, I'm through with it all. He pushed up to his feet, as short and light as a lavender feather, pulled a harmonica from his denim pants, played a mournful tune, danced a lively jig, then wandered toward the door. Going up to the lock by O'Bannon's and drowned meself. I've had enough, he muttered, and I need no help, Molly. He waved the barmaid back. A woman tourist, Irish by the map on her face, and her traveling friend as well, looked at Molly. Shall we go rescue the poor man? I think he's had too much Guinness this night. The bartender smiled, his Molly as well. Ah, con, have no fears for Dan. 'Tis the same tale each evening, drinks his dew and cavorts back to his tiny hut. Long ago has Aisling left him, none else wants the bother. He has his sheep, but maybe, who knows, one day he'll see the star and follow it. Show's over, friends, the barkeep said, for today. Last call, my Molly and I need to sit, sup and sleep before we feed ye up again tomorrow. And the last poem I'm going to read is called Black Irish, but I'm playing here because the real definition of Black Irish, if you're from Ireland, is that you have dark hair, skin as white as milk, and eyes that are green or blue. But I'm doing some other things with black and Irish here in this poem. And the middle part of it is true, but some of it is highly exaggerated. That's what it is to be Irish. Black Irish. I was surprised when the man in the black coat, so proud, turned out to be my father, dressed in his formal attire, taking his daughters to Catholic Mass every Sunday. I was surprised when the man in the black coat, my father, called out to his friends, told them exactly what to do in the way he told us, and they laughingly called him the director. I was surprised when my father told my mother what bathing suit each woman at our swimming pool wore. She didn't mind the telling. The colors were the subject, it seemed, not the women. And she didn't mind the cooking either. I was surprised when my father told his bridge club men that they were wrong when they boo-hooed a member whose daughter married a black man. My father called himself black Irish, called himself a black man turned inside out, reminded members that we all had suffered, or so he thought. Our grandparents had come here, starving or slaves, looking for dignity, black Irish, looking for grace and glory, black Americans, looking for warmth, black coat, looking for abundance, black sky. I was surprised when the black coat turned into black sky, sprinkled with stars, black sky, sprinkled with holes, black sky, with holes, black coat cut out of black sky, sprinkled with black pride, sprinkled with stars. I was surprised when the man in the black coat turned out to be a man I was so proud of, my father. Thank you.